Thank you, Madam Chair. Your Excellencies, state responsibility is CEDAW's primary accountability mechanism. But in this hour of your gravest need of conflict and an epidemic of violence that is sweeping across the DRC, the international community too bears joint responsibility. Recently, I bore witness to Mr. Ivan Minshagan, the professor of the University of Kinshasa, who appeared on behalf of the DRC before the ICJ on the advisory opinion on the obligation of states in respect of climate change. He outlined the shared responsibility of countries and the categorical imperative for developed countries to bear responsibility for reparations. I want to make a novel suggestion. Given the link between armed conflict and climate crisis, could you expand reparations to include climate change-induced violence against women? This linkage is also illustrated in our own General Recommendation 37 of the CEDAW. The distinguished delegation addressed questions on reparations, but I want to go deeper. As you know, in March 2021, the ICC issued its first order on reparations for victims of conflict-related sexual violence in the DRC. This was the first ever order made on reparations by the ICC on sexual violence. There was, however, a further recognition of the transgenerational harm to children born out of rape as direct victims of conflict-related sexual violence. So my question is, does your reparation fund provide funds for the transgeneration harm to children born out of rape? And also, do you provide not just individual reparations and compensation, but structural reparations? And by that, I would like you to examine the UN basic principles and guidelines on the right to a remedy and reparations for victims of gross violations of international human rights. Now, this calls for structural and institutional forms of reparations, including a way in which the state party must address the non-repetition of such acts, a never again promise. I would like you to address that in your responses. Now, as you know, last year, the military tribunal of Uvira sentenced a militia to life imprisonment for crimes against humanity. He was convicted of the crime of forced pregnancy. This was a global first before a domestic court. And I congratulate you on being spearheading a way in which an expanded definition of sexual violence could include forced pregnancy and the 10 categories of sexual violence that our distinguished excellency shared with us. Now, does your penal code too address these 10 categories of sexual violence, and how does the penal code or other statutory enactments help to shift the stigma from the victim to the perpetrator? As you know, Your Excellencies, as Goma is under siege, the most pressing need is water. It is rural women who are most responsible for securing food and water for their families, and they face heightened risks at distribution sites such as markets, water systems, and mills. How would you install water distribution centers that have protection officers who can help protect the women who are gathering water? The Virunga National Park is famous. Women often enter the park to cultivate crops such as manioc or maize or collect firewood. Your Excellencies, it is also infamous as a site of rape. From the campgrounds of Goma, many trek in search of firewood. What they find often are gunmen. And Doctors Without Borders have said, women who venture out to collect firewood face the impossible choice of letting their families go hungry or facing sexual violence as they venture out to find food and firewood. Women have to make a horrific choice between rape or death. Are there park rangers who are trained in violence prevention and who are gender sensitive and are conscious of this epidemic of violence? I go on to small arms and light weapons that exacerbate this conflict. In October 7th, you approved a 5-year national action plan which is part of the third generation of national action plans for the control of small arms and light weapons. Now, the Women, Peace and Security agenda also includes small arms and light weapons and the Arms Trade Treaty. In fact, UN Security Council Resolution 2467, which is one of the 10 resolutions under the WPS agenda, underscores the need to curb the sale of small arms and light weapons. The proliferation of light weapons often claim the lives of women and girls who are foraging for food, water, and firewood. How do you address the illicit sale of small arms and light weapons in the criminal justice system and as a complement to the Women, Peace and Security National Action Plan? And how do you implement Security Council Resolution 2616, which focuses on the illicit transfer, destabilizing accumulation and diversion of arms-related materials? Sexual violence, Your Excellencies, feeds on one of the world's largest hunger crises. According to the latest integrated food security classification, it is estimated that the DRC faces acute food insecurity and is at the tipping point for famine. The face of starvation is often that of a woman. Food insecurity is often weaponized and linked with gender violence. How do you implement Resolution 2417, which was adopted in 2018 by the Security Council on food security in conflict? The Council strongly condemns starvation as a tool of war and the starving of civilians and the unlawful denial of humanitarian access as a warfare tactic. Starvation is not the only form of denying civilians much-needed access to life-saving medicines, menstruation products, and other medical supplies for pregnant women. How do you establish a humanitarian corridor for access to food security, water, medicines, and other essential supplies? Now, the Rome Statute of the ICC too denies starvation of civilians to include deprivation of objects indispensable to their survival. I finally go on to the nexus of sexual violence, starvation, conflict, and climate change triggered child marriage, another egregious form of sexual violence. Unfortunately, in the DRC, a negative coping strategy includes famine brides. Food insecurity is a determination of famine brides. And this is something that we see when it comes to women with disabilities and girls with disabilities, especially girls with fistula and other obstetric challenges, and who are deeply denied not only food and medicine, but who are also sold in sexual slavery. Your Excellencies, you cannot fail your children. We cannot fail your children. The world cannot fail them. Thank you. Thank you.